Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so excited to have you guys with me, and I'm just really digging publishing an episode every day. Are you digging it too? I'm just thrilled. It was a challenge, I'll admit, but it's been really fun and rewarding. So just again, want to say thank you so much for joining me. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, please do. And please leave a review. Tell me what episodes you enjoy. Which ones would you like to hear more about? I'd love your feedback. By the way, you can also connect with me on social media. And I'm on Facebook. Just look up Lindsay Sutherland. And also on Instagram at Lindsay_Sutherland24. So looking forward to connecting with all of you. Today, I want to start with a quick recap of what we've gone over this week and just share with you some of my highlights. And then, as usual, on Fridays, we're doing a mindset episode. And in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder, I wanted to share with you my thoughts about him as an entrepreneur. I've really been, I'm sure like many of you, you know, swallowed up with all of the intense emotion, shall we say, surrounding his passing and the assassination that happened. I've had a lot of time to reflect and watch some content, and I've come to some conclusions that relates to us as entrepreneurs that I want to draw on, and I want to share with you my insights. So stick around for that. So let's kick it off with just a quick recap. So Monday, September 15th, we talked about why your processes should be 7 steps or less and the psychology behind it. And after I recorded that episode, I remember thinking, oh my goodness, is this really advice that I could have followed? And I was remembering back when I used to run a service BDC and just the intense dynamics, the nuances, the levels of decision-making that had to be made by simple entry-level employees. I just challenged myself in that moment to put my money, I guess you could say, where my mouth is. I was like, could I have done that? Could I have made those steps, 7 steps or less? And so on Tuesday, I shared with you some insights that I gleaned after applying Monday's episode. You know, sometimes even as a business coach and as a leader, I always say, you know, we must lead by example. We must challenge ourselves to put into practice that which we preach. And I demonstrated that for you on Tuesday. Wednesday, we aired an episode called Giving Yourself Permission to Be Human as a Leader, Eliminating the Pressure of, you know, Trying to Be Perfect. And this was a guest episode with Kevin Palmieri, who is an amazing innovator and leader. I just truly enjoyed that conversation and was grateful to bring him to the show. So please go check it out. Thursday, yesterday, we talked about, is your business the baby that doesn't grow up, and 3 steps to build a mature operation. So that was just a great tidy week. I thought so much good content on the show over this last week. So yay, that's exciting. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them, or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion, because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word FREEDOM to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text FREEDOM to 55444. All right, back to the show. Okay, now let's switch gears and dig into our lessons we can learn about Charlie Kirk as an entrepreneur. And believe it or not, I thought this was going to be like simple and 5, but as I was listing out things, my thoughts a little bit more detailed, it's actually 10. 10 really clear lessons that we can learn from Charlie Kirk as an entrepreneur. And listen, whether you believed in what Charlie's mission was or not is pretty much irrelevant for this conversation, because at the end of the day, I think we can all agree that a man who could graduate high school and by the age of 31 amass such a massive organization and a following is quite impressive. That alone is impressive. And as entrepreneurs, I think we can take a moment to honor and respect the work that he did and what he built. Not to mention, you know, just in general, this whole thing has really taken me, I don't know about you, but it's really affected me. I didn't really follow Charlie. It wasn't something I really did. But I did make the mistake of watching the assassination on a video, and it just wrecked me. And I am very empathic. So ever since then, I've been in this state of mourning. I don't know why. It's weird to me, actually, that I'm so affected by this, by the loss of somebody that I didn't really know. But since I've been going through that emotion, I've just been allowing myself to go through that emotion, I've been seeing a lot of his content and really thinking, you know, as a business consultant, when I look at somebody as a leader, as a business owner, I kind of can have a window into the space that they were in just because I understand the inner workings of business. And I know you as business owners can relate to that. Yesterday, Megyn Kelly hosted the Charlie Kirk Show. And during that time, she was talking to his team. And that's where I got even more clarity. I had already started to see some of the cool things about Charlie and about what he could do as a business leader, as a leader in his industry, in his space. And it, in that moment, just watching that episode, it really solidified for me, this is something I want to talk about because it's worth highlighting. And why not learn from the greats, you know, whether we agree with their platform or not. So thank you for joining me. Here's the scoop. 10 lessons that I learned about entrepreneurship by watching Charlie and learning about Charlie. Number one, he was intentional with his time. I mean, massively, is that a word? Massively intentional with his time. Yesterday, when Megyn was talking to his team, she was talking to his chief of staff. She was talking to his personal assistant. Both of them said, Charlie didn't waste a moment. You know, whether he was, he loved to walk. They said he loved to walk. And sometimes he would be listening to audiobooks during that time. Or if he didn't have a book on audio, he would have one of his team members reading to him. He loved to absorb information and learn and grow and just had a mind for self-growth. With that being said, he also was very busy. He was producing 4 hours of content a day, plus doing about five in-person events a week, not to mention running his company and doing all the meetings and everything else. I mean, can you imagine the amount of busyness that he had? But he also prioritized sleep. And this leads me to number two. He was extremely intentional about his health. He understood that his health was the root of his energy. And I think this is something as entrepreneurs we take for granted so often. We just become slave drivers and focus on the mission in front of us and forget that our vessel, our body, is the thing that makes that mission even possible. And without us, as we can see with Charlie, that really puts a damper on things, right? So lack of health would be a very bad thing for us to experience. And that's one thing I admire about Charlie. Even though he was young, even though he had the vitality of a young person, he still prioritized his health. He went to regular doctors, but he didn't just go because he had an ailment. He went to better his health. He prioritized sleep. He took vitamins. He was a prolific exerciser. So I'm just saying, like, this is a lesson we can all absorb, is how can we improve and focus on our health? And we can't say, oh, I don't have time. Charlie is somebody who could have said he didn't have time, but he didn't. Therefore, neither can we. One of the things that this is so important for me and that I've learned from watching this is it reminded me of my original why, of why I became a business consultant. I believe passionately that entrepreneurs and independent business owners are the bedrock of American economics. Now, granted, there's a lot, I mean, that's a loaded question. There's a lot of other contributing factors to the economy. But, you know, when we look back at the country in the 17, 1800s, even the early 1900s, and I'm going to even say during COVID, our country relied on independent business owners. And the reason I say that during COVID, I know that in some big cities, a lot of small businesses were shut down. But I will tell you, where I live, in our community, it was the small businesses that took care of the community. It was like COVID didn't happen. We didn't have those ridiculous price hikes here. In fact, you know, where meat was going through the roof in big cities, here farmers were selling pigs for $150 plus butchering. You can get the whole pig. So I know that's something that can happen. If our world were to change and we didn't have the infrastructure, like what happened with COVID is we lost that pipeline, that shipping pipeline. If we lost that, America would instantly turn to us as small business people. Therefore, we are the foundation, we are the bedrock, and we are an important and integral part of the country and of the economic, wherever you're living. I mean, even if you're in another country, I believe that. And that's why our health is so important. So I just wanted to bunny trail on that with intention, because that is true. And that is important that you realize that you aren't just, you know, just doing a hustle. You're not just serving a client. You are really important to the bedrock of America. Number three, Charlie was relentless. He was a big visionary. One of his team members said that just recently they were having a team meeting and making some future plans. And Charlie was, you know, talking to his team, and he said, "I want to open chapters. I want 35,000 new chapters next year." And this is a huge goal. They only had like 3,200 right now. And his chief of staff immediately was like panicking. "Oh my gosh, how are we going to develop this?" And so he went on Google and he's like, "How many high schools are there?" And they were talking about high school chapters. He went on Google and there was only 23,000 high schools in the country. And he said, "Charlie, there's only 23,000 high schools in the country." And Charlie goes, "Oh, okay, 23,000 new chapters." Like, this guy was relentless. He wanted there was no settling. There was no settling for less than. Do you hear me? Like, that is the thing. We are our biggest culprit as entrepreneurs, because we allow ourselves to settle for less than. We allow ourselves to slough off. Charlie didn't. And he did it with love and grace and joy. That's what I think is so even more beautiful, is it wasn't like a hustle culture. It wasn't like I need to be great or a self-aggrandizement. He believed in his mission, and he was 100% like a freight train moving towards that mission. That leads me to number four. Have you ever read the book Big Money Energy by Ryan Serhant? If not, I really recommend it. I really recommend it. It's a great book. I especially recommend the audio version. He is a hoot, and it's really enjoyable to listen to him share that book. He talks about his story of how he came into being a realtor with barely any experience or background, but he had been in trying to be an actor. And then he got to audition for this show, and he put on this big charade. It's totally worthless. It's a true story. You got to listen to the whole thing. But he really talks about how he embodied big money energy. And to me, that's what I see it in Charlie. But it wasn't just big money energy. It was big energy, big vision energy. Charlie was on a serious mission. I look at his life and I think about it from like a higher perspective. And I'm like, you know what? God sent him here with a mission and a plan, and gave him that clarity from a very young age, and he just bulldozed it, and he just went after it. And like I said early on, God bless him for having that clarity. I think that's something that many of us probably struggle with the most in the beginning. But once you get that clarity, these are the lessons that you can put in. You know, embody that big vision energy. When Charlie was just starting out with his entrepreneurial journey, he didn't have a big team. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew who he was. Yet he still texted J.D. Vance after J.D. was interviewed on Fox by Tucker Carlson, and just simply was reaching out saying, "Hey, I saw you. Nice job. Stay in touch." Something real casual like that. He embodied the energy of greatness. And I just love that about him. And I want that for all of us. Number five. Masterful leader, team builder, and networker. I mean, this is a lot in one, but it kind of all comes back to relationships. Charlie was gifted at building relationships, whether it was with his team, whether it was with strangers. He constantly was talking to people. They were saying that he went to Korea. He was really excited to go to Korea because people didn't really know him there. And so he got to be an actual tourist and just meander around the town without a whole lot of people recognizing him. But at one point, there were some people who did recognize him. And he just randomly started talking to people and professing his mission right there in the streets of Korea. I mean, the man was gifted at making friends and making you feel, this is what people are saying about him, making you feel a shift and a draw. He was magnetic. That's the word. He was magnetic. He was a masterful leader, team builder, and networker, which clearly served him. But you know what's also interesting? I was reflecting, I've listened to a lot of different commentaries on his life. People who knew him for decades, who watched him come up, they said, Ben Shapiro, I think it was, said, he wasn't naturally a good orator. He wasn't born a good debater. It's a skill he practiced and he developed. And that's what's cool about this number five, is because it's something any of us can do. We can develop the skills of being a masterful leader. We can develop the skills of team building. We can develop the skills of being a networker and being magnetic. It's not something we have to be born with. We can develop it. And that is such a cool takeaway from Charlie and his life. Number six, he cared deeply about people. You know, some might argue that he was about hate, but I have yet to see anybody actually put real proof out there about that. They'll take his words out of context, but when you look back at what the whole conversation was, never ever was it that way. And you can watch it live for yourself. He goes into, as they say, the belly of the beast, talking to people who just adamantly refuse to believe in alignment with him, and he would challenge them with love and kindness. He was never disrespectful. He always cared deeply about people. What a kind man. And I just think that as leaders, whether we are solopreneurs or entrepreneurs, whether we're leading a team or we're doing whatever we do, if we could cultivate more of a culture of kindness and empathy for people, it would make the world such a better place and make us stronger in business. You know, my background is the car business. It can be a ruthless, cutthroat, unkind environment. I spent 20 years in that environment. And I believe there's parts of myself. I'm just going to go into a little self-reflection here. There are parts of myself that I don't particularly love, that I learned, habits that I learned from the car business. And what's the beauty is watching Charlie, I'm like, you know what? I know myself. I know what's truly in myself. The biggest reason I wanted out of the car business is because it didn't align with my moral compass. That's why I worked so hard to get out of the car business. And now that I'm an entrepreneur, now that I'm running my own business, I can lean into the heart of who I am unapologetically. And I see that in Charlie. He genuinely cared about people and he was true to himself to the core, which is number seven. He had a strong faith. You know, whether we agree with Charlie's faith or not is irrelevant. The takeaway here is he had a moral compass. He had a strong beacon of truth that was his truth. And he stood in that truth and he lived in that truth. And he believed it so much that he was able to bring others into that belief as well. That is something that I think is so important as entrepreneurs, because when we're on the day-to-day, you know, when money, like they say, you know, money is the root of all evil. I'm not trying to get biblical, but I will say this. Money is definitely a trigger that can pull people out of their alignment with themselves. Because when you get desperate, when you're feeling that panic of financial stress, you make decisions. You might say yes to a client that you don't really want to say yes to. You might say yes to an opportunity that you don't want to say yes to. You know, you start scrambling instead of staying clear to your truth. And that's what I say here is, like, when you have faith and you have a moral compass, as entrepreneurs, as leaders, our takeaway from Charlie is to stand in that truth. And here's what Charlie did to demonstrate that. He lost, just before he passed, he lost a $2 million investment in his company, a donation, because he wasn't willing to keep Tucker Carlson out of his events. He had a donor who was very, very well endowed and had asked him to take Tucker off the lineup. For whatever reason, I don't want to get into politics, but the fact of the matter is, Charlie saw that what Tucker was talking about was important to his followers, okay? His audience being the young people. And he let that go. He said no to $2 million because he wasn't willing to let the money dictate his values. And that's what's so cool about Charlie Kirk. Okay, number 8. Systems and organizational structure. Guys, we cannot look at Turning Point USA without acknowledging the fact that this brilliant young mind built an incredible organizational structure. They went from having 3,200 chapters to now having over 60,000 inquiries for new chapters. And guess what? In the wake of their leader, within just a week of losing their leader, the person who was at the helm, and not just their leader, but their friend. This team is together. They are united because they're united around a mission, and their roles are staying the same. They know what they are here to do, and they can do it, and they are poised for growth. They are poised for this expansion. Megan asked him, guys, aren't you panicking a little bit about this influx? And I mean, yes, there was a little bit of there's going to be some logistic stuff we have to deal with, but not a single one of them didn't feel capable. And they felt capable because they knew their role. They knew the system. They had a process for everything. He did a phenomenal job of building an organization, hiring smart, intelligent, heartfelt people that were the right person for each role. He was strategic about the roles and the organization. Number 9, he knew he couldn't do it alone. Charlie knew he couldn't do it alone. And that's why he built a team. That's why he built a church, really. What's cool about the way he approached his business was he built it up as a 501c3, a nonprofit, which I think is interesting. And I want to talk about that in number 10 and how that might be a little bit different for us as entrepreneurs in a for-profit business. But he knew he couldn't do it alone. And that is a mindset piece that we need to pull from Charlie, because too many of us try to grin and bear it. Too many of us are wearing the cross thinking it's our burden to wear. Charlie knew he couldn't do it alone. First, he invited in his faith and his leader in spiritual realm, Jesus, which was his number one guide. Second, he brought in people. He brought in his wife. He brought in his team. He never once said, I can do this by myself. So for those of you that are in that space where you're doing everything alone and you're spinning out, take that advice. You can't do it alone. You must learn to be a good leader. You must learn to develop team and build this up. You cannot, it's not sustainable otherwise. Number 10, his sales wasn't salesy. And I find this an interesting, I really was thinking, I'm like, how's the best way to word this? But here's the thing. This is the mindset that we might challenge Lindsay on this episode and say, yeah, that's all great. All those things are great about Charlie, but he had a nonprofit and he had a mission, and it's so much easier to just go ask for donations, you know, get people to donate to your cause and then use that money to fund an organization. We have to hustle. We have to get clients. We have to sell ourselves. My friends, I thought about that and I thought, you know what? There's really no difference. I highly doubt Charlie was fearless the first time, the second time, the third time, the 50th time he asked for donations. When he asked for the first $500, probably felt like asking for $5 million later on, you know? At every level, he grew and we can grow too. So for us, the only difference is this. Charlie was selling a vision. He was selling his mission. We think we're just selling ourselves. And the fact of the matter is we're devaluing our worth because what we really are selling is a solution. And if you can just make a mindset shift that you're not here to sell you are here to sell your service, your solution, your transformation. You are making a difference and you get bought into that. Put yourself in that frame of mind and sell yourself on what you're doing. And it's no longer about you. It's about them. It's about your, and that's one cool thing about Charlie is it was always about his audience. He would go talk to young people. He wanted to make a difference with young people. They were his clients, really, if you think about it. And what did he do? He went out and did public events, inviting them to challenge him. By that, he learned what they wanted, what they needed, what they cared about. And then he could turn that into, you know, I guess you could say political platforms. But that's not really the, like I said, I'm not trying to get political. But my point is, he was selling to an audience that didn't even want what he had to say. And here we are thinking sales is hard. The mindset number 10 is that sales wasn't salesy. He used articulation. He used his words. He used his heart to change minds. And he used his platform and his voice to share his wisdom. And really, isn't that what sales is? It's sharing wisdom. It's sharing information. It's building with impact. It doesn't have to be salesy. It doesn't have to be transactional. It can be relational. And that is what is a beautiful thing with that I see that I learned from Charlie. So that is my 10 lessons that I've learned from Charlie Kirk as an entrepreneur, just digging into his life a little bit over the last week. And I hope this was helpful. It's certainly inspirational to me. I know I'm going to be going back and listening to this episode as well. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll get back into the Freedom Entrepreneur podcast on Monday. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. And I look forward to connecting with you in the DM.